man's anger to suppress. My only hope is found in Jesus righteousness. For me he died, for me he lives, and everlasting life and life he free. His grace has planned it all. His grace has planned it all. It's mine but to receive and recognize his work of love. Christ received for me. He died for me. Standing for opening prayer.
Amen. That's such an encouraging song. It's one of my favorites. And we do have hope because we have Jesus Christ, and He is our hope. And so because of Him, we know He's coming back, and no matter what we're going through, we know that that is not the end for our lives, that God has something spectacularly planned for us as believers, an inheritance to be claimed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, looking forward to God's word tonight. We're going to start off with a word of prayer. And Russell Moore, would you mind opening us with a word of prayer?
Be seated. Number 392. 392. Who is on the Lord's side? Who will serve the King? 392. On that fourth, fierce may be the conflict, strong may be the foe.
Fierce may be the conflict, strong may be the foe. But the King's own Lord.
Amen. It's great to see you on this Wednesday night. And I just want to say, I feel like the week has gone by so quickly, and we are going to miss all of you. I just want to say thank you so much to Pastor for your invitation for us to be here and your gracious hospitality. The whole family just been very gracious to us. And then so many of you, just your gracious hospitality. Really appreciate Tom and Vicki Russell. Just they've been hosting us. That's been a real blessing. The accommodations have just been very comfortable, convenient. We so appreciate that. And then the meals, oh my. We have gained a few pounds, I think, but they have just been so good. Thank you for all of you who have just extended such a gracious hospitality to us. We really appreciate that. We will keep you all in our prayers, and we appreciate that if you, as the Lord puts us on your mind, you would pray for us. We need that. We covet your prayers, and we just thank the Lord for you all. I want to just highlight a few more books for tonight. Just some devotional resources that I have found personally helpful in my own walk with the Lord. One is this devotional. It's called Streams in the Desert. Is anyone familiar with this book? It's a powerful book, especially for navigating trials. Yeah, just so rich. Streams in the Desert. One of mention that to you. And then this, I love when I have time with the Lord, taking a hymn history book in with having a Bible and a hymn book and a hymn history book is a great trio. And so this book, 101 Hymn Stories, is just really practical. Many of you realize that the hymns, many of the hymns that we sing were birthed out of trials. They're life stories of people's responses of faith to crises. And so this book records some of those stories. Encourage that to you all as well. And then, of course, last night we focused on God's love. The Lord burdened my heart just at the beginning of this year to write a gospel tract. And I wrote this tract, What God's Love Means to You. And it's a four-panel tract, of course, double-sided, but talks about the fact God created you. God knows you, and God wants to have a relationship with you. And so these are available on our back table in packs of 50. And of course, they can be customized on the back. There's also blanks out there where the back is just a blank and a label can be applied. But I just wanted to mention that as a resource as we share the gospel with the people God brings across our path. Then I wanted to mention this. It's a discipleship book, Forward with God, a Bible study. And I've used this. It's 12 lessons. I've used it with a 17-year-old, and I've used it for a couple in their 70s. It's good for all ages, but it's a Bible study. It can be used for new believers, obviously with the intent of discipling, coaching them along through this book. It can also be used just for a personal Bible study in your own devotional walk with the Lord. Good for group studies as well. So I just commend that to you, Forward with God. And then one more. This is a new release. My sister arranges music, and so we have this is a men's duet. You'll actually get the chance to hear this duet before the message tonight, but it's called Does Jesus Care? And it's just an arrangement, piano arrangement and men's duet. So again, just a few resources back on the back table. I encourage you with that tonight.
All right, this evening is the last opportunity that we have to give to the visitors and their ministry. And so I encourage you, this is an opportunity. The Bible tells us it's more blessed to give than to receive. And that's true as we're hearing God's word in terms of we are receiving, and so we can give back. And God will bless each and every person who gives to the Lord tonight, because we're by giving to someone that represents the Lord and going in His name, we are giving to Him. And He sees that, and He takes note. And God tells us He's going to reward us. You cannot outgive God. You can give it back to you, pressed down, shaken together. And God is just so faithful. So I appreciate your faithfulness to the Lord and giving this evening. I'd like to ask Brother Ryan Lewis, would you mind praying for offering tonight?
Viewers also, who can tell me what the name of that song was? Did you catch it? It is well with my soul. Praise the Lord. You know, Jesus told his disciples, without me, ye can do what? Nothing. But we need to remember the other side of the coin too, right? And that is, with God, nothing is impossible. And we're going to sing about that, number 615, tonight. Just that chorus, 615, nothing is impossible when you put your trust in God. Number 615, let's stand together once again as we sing this chorus.
Nothing is impossible when you put your trust in God. Nothing is impossible when you're trusting in His grace of God to thee. Is there anything too hard for me? Then put your trust in God alone and rest upon His word. For everything, oh everything, yes everything is possible with God.
It's just a chorus, it's pretty short. Let's sing it again. Nothing is impossible when you put your trust in God. Nothing is impossible when you're trusting in His word. Hearken you the voice of God to thee. Is there anything too hard for me? Then put your trust in God alone and rest upon His word. For everything, oh everything, yes everything is possible with God.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth and song? As the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long. Oh, yes, He cares, I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong? When for my deep grief I find no relief, though my tears flow all the night long? Oh, yes, He cares, I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Does Jesus care when my way is dark with a nameless dread and fear? As the daylight fades into deep night shades, does He care enough to be near? Oh, yes, He cares, I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares.
Amen. I invite you to take your Bibles with me and turn to Judges chapter number 3. Judges chapter number 3. How many of you have a favorite book in the Bible? All right. How many of you have a favorite book? All right. Very good. It's hard for me to decide what my favorite book in the Bible is. In fact, I heard someone say when they were asked that question, my favorite book of the Bible is whatever book I'm currently studying. And I echo that remark because every book is so rich, and I realize there are some favorites books for sure. Judges is one of those books that is very interesting. How many of you know what I mean? There's a lot of things we don't quite understand exactly what's going on, especially toward the end of the book. It's a rather depressing book, if you're, at least for me, if I'm honest. And I was just reading through Judges even this past time in my regular Bible reading, and something jumped out to me, and I felt like the Lord just really impressed it on my heart as a really a seed thought for a message that the Lord wants me to present tonight. And I'm just encouraged. Obviously, I just said Judges is a depressing book in many ways, but how many of you know that God always gives hope in crises? God always shines. In fact, sometimes light shines the brightest when things are the darkest. And certainly, as we look through the book of Judges, there are some bright spots. There's some hope that we see. And I want to highlight that a couple of different ways here this evening. The verse that stuck out to me in Judges chapter 3, in verse 1, it says, "Now these are the nations which the Lord left to," what's the next word? "Prove Israel by them." Skip down to verse 4, "And they were to," what's the next word? "Prove Israel by them to know whether they would hearken unto the commandments of the Lord, which he commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses." So let's just get the context of the book of Judges. Obviously, God had so much for the children of Israel. He had the promised land. And we think back to Kadesh Barnea when they had the opportunity to go in, and they, instead of going forward by faith, they fell back in unbelief. And what a tragedy that was, spending 38 years in the wilderness. And then we have the bright spot, the high tide, where Joshua leads the children of Israel over the Jordan River. And they're able to conquer many different cities and strongholds. And God paves a way for them to have their inheritance, all of it. That was God's intent, except somewhere along the line, the children of Israel decided, I think we're okay where we are. We don't need to conquer any more lands. And so there were these nations that God intended for Israel to drive out that were still remaining, that really served as, the Bible says, thorns in their side. But what's interesting is God, in every generation, and it doesn't matter how dark the time is, God is always giving us the opportunity for obedience today. And when it says that these nations were left to prove them whether they would hearken to God or not, gives me a lot of hope. Because of course, in the children of Israel, they were really experiencing a lot of consequences from past choices. These nations that God intended to drive out were still remaining. And yet God says, "I left these nations right with you to give you an opportunity today to prove your consecration, to say, God, yes, I want to follow your way." How many of you know crises come in all different shapes and sizes? Wow, crises can be personal crises in our lives. There can be family crises. There can certainly be financial crises or health crises. There can be, as we look at our nation, political crises. Crises come in all different containers, we could say. You realize crises also have different causes. Sometimes crises come by no wrong choice of our own. We see that, of course, in the example of Job, where a trial, a crisis came, all of his possessions, his children were taken away. It was a crisis. But it wasn't because of any sin in Job's life. And then there's crises that do come because of wrong choices. They're consequences. And that's what we see in the book of Judges. The crises that they often experience, where God hands them over to their enemies, is because of their own disobedience and their own unbelief. But then Judges chapter, and really the rest of the book of Judges, is an opportunity where God is still looking for, can I say it this way, vessels of hope. God is still looking for Othniels. He's still looking for Ehuds. He's still looking for Shamgars and looking for Deborahs and Baraks, and he's looking for Gideons and Jephthahs. And that's encouraging, because even in a situation where we may presently, and I don't know you in this room well at all, but even in circumstances where we may be experiencing consequences from past choices, there's still an opportunity today to go forward with God. And one of the lies Satan likes to implant in our minds is the lie that, well, you know, my past choices, I'm not useful anymore. Or, well, God isn't working because my situation's the exception. And that's a lie from the pit of hell. It's not God's truth. God's saying, I'm looking for someone who will stand up and say, today, I don't care what's happened in the past, today is an opportunity for me to obey God. Today is an opportunity for me to go forward with God. Today is an opportunity for me to take the step of faith that He's wanting me to take. I don't know about you, but that's a huge encouragement to me. It reminds me of James chapter 4 and verse 6. It says, God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Grace is God's divine enablement. It's the desire and the power to do God's will. And He always gives it to those who just are humble enough to recognize they need it. And so God's looking for people in every generation. God's a God of hope, but He's looking for messengers, vessels, who can be channels of that hope to a lost and dying world. I want to look specifically at lessons from the life of Gideon in Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. Gideon is an encouraging character, encouraging Bible character. There's a lot of lessons. I'm not going to walk through every detail of this story. I'm assuming most of you in this room are very familiar with Gideon. And so we're just going to hit some highlights and look at how God used a man in a very dark time. Judges chapter 6 and verse number 1. It says this, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. This was a recurring pattern for them. They did evil and then cried out to, and God put them in the hands of their enemies. And then they would cry out to God, and God would raise up a judge, and then God would deliver. And then the cycle would repeat itself again. The children of Israel, they did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains, and caves and strongholds. And so it was, when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them. And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, They came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. Israel's in a bad spot. The Midianites are covering the land. They're later described as a multitude like grasshoppers. It reminds me of, as I read through this, sometimes I can't help but think of the parallels to 21st century America. Psalm chapter 27, Psalm 12, verse 8, it says, "The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted." And we're certainly seeing that where it seems like God's people are hiding in dens and caves. We've been marginalized. We've lost our salt. We've been trodden under the foot of men. It's a tragic thing. And there is great hope, even in the darkest of times. I'm thankful that our hope is not in the White House. Our hope is not in the results of the elections on November 5th. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. Our hope, the answer for our nation is the same as it's always been, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. God's looking for His people to be able to, yes, deal with sin, be available to God, and be courageous to be able to share the good news of Jesus Christ with a lost and dying world, rather than hiding in dens and caves. Oppressed by the enemy. And so it was when Israel had sown, verse 3, that the Midianites came up and they destroyed their crops. They destroyed their crops. They took their cattle. It's a serious, serious crisis. But verse number 6, I love this. This is the right response in every crisis. Last part of verse 6, the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Would you highlight that, underline that, mark that somehow? Whenever you're in crises, cry to the Lord. In every crisis, cry to the Lord. How many of you know it's easy to talk to people when we're in crises? And I'm thankful God gives us people that can encourage us and help us. But sometimes, at least I know in my life, when something is frustrating me or irritating me or there's something that's just not going how I think it ought to go, wow, it's a lot easier to go and express my complaints to someone else and talk through how all the injustices are and what should have happened or didn't happen that I thought should happen, instead of in the crisis using it as an opportunity to, most importantly, cry out to God. Because He's the only one that can do something about it. I can talk to other people and the Lord can use them to encourage me. And the Lord certainly gives us the local church as a body of believers to provoke one another to love and good works. I'm thankful for that. Let's never forget that in crises, you and I have to personally cry out to God. And we see this in this instance, a great example where in distress, Israel cries out to the Lord. And God answers. Verse 7 and through 10, God answers. It may not have been in the way Israel first expected, but God sends them a prophet and basically says, there's sin in the camp and you've got to get it right in order to go forward. The last part of verse 10, it says, "Ye have not obeyed my voice." And this issue of obedience seems to keep coming up throughout our studies, but we just can't get over the importance of recognizing, God, where have I gone wrong? Where have I disobeyed you? You know, it's never comfortable to deal with sin. How many of you love it when someone says, "Hey, this is an issue. This, you offended me. This isn't right." And you say, "Wow, thank you so much for telling me." We don't like it when our sin is confronted. It doesn't make it comfortable for us. But that is the only way for us to gain traction spiritually, is if we'll just be open and honest with our sin before God. As He points out sin in our lives, to say, God, by Your grace, I'm going to deal with it. I'm going to take it to the blood for Your cleansing. And there is freedom. There's just a release, an ability to move forward with God when we take sin to the cross, to the blood. And so sin has to be dealt with. There has to be an obedience to God. So God is looking for vessels of hope. He's looking for a man. He's looking for a lady who He can use. He's looking for you to be a useful vessel in your home. A vessel of hope in your home. He's looking for you to be a vessel of hope in your marriage. He's looking for you to be a vessel of hope here in this church. He's looking for you to be a vessel of hope in our community. There's a lot of different in your workplace, neighborhoods, every place that God puts us, He's wanting to use you. And there's specific things He's wanting to use, or things He's looking for in a vessel. The first thing I want us to know is He's looking for an obedient vessel. That's what He's looking for. And He has to address that for Israel as a whole. But then I find it interesting, specifically, God calls Gideon to obedience Himself. Now, frankly, we don't have a lot of information about Gideon's background. But it's interesting that after God calls Gideon, we find that God tells Gideon to do something. The very first instructions He gives to Gideon is actually found in verse 25, that he should go and take down, remove the false idol to Baal, the false altar to Baal that was erected. Remember the story? Take out, your father has this false idol, this altar to Baal, destroy it. And in its place, build an altar to the Lord. What is he doing? He's calling Gideon to unmistakably identify, I'm on God's side. Just like the song we sang earlier tonight, who is on the Lord's side? Gideon, God is wanting a man that's obedient, where he removes the idolatry, takes away the false god, and in its place puts up an altar to the Lord. We see that. By the way, I love the hope that's there, because we can't, the Christian life is not just about removing sin out of our life. It's not just removing the wrong things out of our life. No, if we stop there, we're going to fall short. No, it's adding things into our life. It's like 2 Timothy 2:22 says, flee youthful lust, but follow after righteousness and faith and peace and purity and all of those things. So we see this, but God is looking, first of all, for an obedient vessel. Can you say in your own heart before the Lord, as much as I know, I am obeying God in every area of my life? That's a sobering question, but it's a question that God wants us to be able to answer in the affirmative. Yes, as far as I know, in every area of my life, I'm obeying you. Wow. So God's looking for an obedient vessel. But number two, God's looking for an available vessel. Someone that's just useful, ready to serve the Lord. And don't we see this in verse number 12? God, the angel of the Lord, I believe this is a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ. The angel of the Lord appears unto Gideon in verse 12, said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And what is Gideon doing when the angel of the Lord appears to him? He's hiding, yes. And what is he doing? Threshing wheat. So that's very interesting to me. Perhaps there's a young person here that's just wondering, God, what do you want me to do with my life? That's a great question to ask the Lord. Maybe it's an adult. You're looking for direct wisdom for a decision. And what I love is God always directs us in the regular course of life. So Gideon is just doing a very simple routine that he's probably done many, many times before. He's just threshing wheat. And it's in that moment of just faithfulness, doing the routine, that God gives direction for the next step. Isn't that an encouragement when we don't know which way to go? I know I've been in places where I've felt like, God, what do you want me to do? How are you leading? I can't seem to see how you're directing. And the Lord's always just come back with the assurance that He will always make His will clear. When it's time to take the next step, it will be clear. And until it's clear, just keep doing what God has for you to do right at the moment. Just be faithful, obeying the Lord in all the areas you do know. And as we obey the Lord in all the areas we do know, God gives us light for the next step. It's a beautiful thing. It teaches us dependence on Him. And so we see that for Gideon. He's available. And God comes to him and calls him. And I love what God says. He calls him a mighty man of valor. Isn't that amazing? And Gideon's like, who are you talking about? Because he's hiding. Sometimes God sees in us something we don't even see ourselves. Just being faithful, doing what the Lord wants us to do. And God says, I have a special task for that person. I have a special calling for that man. I have a special opportunity that I want to show myself strong for this individual in this situation. Are you available just to say, God, I'm here. Use me. Whatever way you want to use me, that's what I want to do and be. We see that example with Gideon. And then number three, God's looking for a vessel that is not only obedient and available, but a vessel that is courageous. How many of you know that Gideon needed some courage? You remember the story? How many Midianites were there? There's 135,000. Israel is not in a good spot. They're hiding. And God says, Gideon, now is the opportunity. I want to use you in this crisis. Israel's facing a crisis. Yeah, it seems like there's no hope. It's pretty dark. But God is still alive. God's still working, and He wants to use you. He wants to use Gideon, and He's going to call Gideon to this task of delivering Israel. He does that, but Gideon is going to need some courage. So Gideon, I love in chapter 6 and verse 34, it says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. That word came upon is the idea of being clothed with the Holy Spirit. That's a great picture. Being controlled by the Holy Spirit, every aspect of our life. It's not our energy, it's not our strength that's going to make the difference. It's not our abilities that are going to give hope in a situation. By the way, when God is looking for a vessel, an available vessel and a courageous vessel, He's not looking necessarily for our skill. He's not necessarily looking for our significance. He's not looking for our great resources or our great reputation. In fact, Gideon says, who am I? O my Lord, in verse 15, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house. God says, no, I want to use you, but it's going to take not your resources, not your skill. It's going to take a dependence on the Spirit of God. The Spirit of the Lord comes upon him, and Zerubbabel, chapter 7, verse 1, also called Gideon, comes up, and he gathers an army together of 32,000 people. 32,000 soldiers. And you've got 32,000 Israelites, and you have 135,000 Midianites, okay? So the Israelites are outnumbered, how many to one? 4 to 1. 4 to 1. Now, if I was Gideon, I'd be a little nervous and think, okay, I mean, 4 to 1, 32,000 to 135,000. Okay, this, we're going to need the Lord to make this work. And God comes with an amazing response to Gideon. He says, the people you have are too many. What? We're already outnumbered 4 to 1. No, they're too many. Send 22,000 home. Who's ever afraid, send them home. So now Gideon's left with 10,000 people. You know the story. 10,000 people, 135,000. They've still got the same number, and Gideon's got less. All right, now they're outnumbered 13 to 1. 13 to 1. And God comes with another message. Gideon, I've got a great task for you, and you're about ready. But the men are too many. There's still too many. And he leads them to this test by the water and whittles his army down to 300 men. And now there's no question who the victory is going to be. It has nothing to do with Gideon's skill, his strength, his resources. It's going to be all God. And by the way, in every crisis, no matter if it's a personal crisis, a family crisis, a relationship crisis, a financial crisis, a health crisis, whatever the crisis is, God wants to get the glory. It's not going to be you or me that's going to make the difference. We just need to be obedient, available, but yes, courageous to just continue to trust the Lord. And so here Gideon is with 300 men against 135,000. Now he's outnumbered 450 to 1. 450 soldiers to 1 soldier. And I love the fact Gideon just keeps going forward. The increasing impossibilities don't change his faith in the Lord Jesus, in God. And what an encouragement for us. I'm just amazed by Gideon's courage. And yet, I love the honesty of Scripture, because you get the impression that Gideon was very nervous still. Wouldn't you be? You got 300 men versus 135,000. There's no hope here, humanly. And yet God gives a word of encouragement just in the moment of perhaps the greatest discouragement. God leads Gideon, along with a fellow comrade, to go and pitch near the camp of the Midianites. And Gideon overhears a dream. Then this Midianite is telling his comrade, saying, I had a dream last night. And, you know, there's a loaf from heaven that fell on the tent of the Midianites, and the tent collapsed and all of that. And in this passage, that was the word from the Lord through a dream. We have something far more secure, do we not? A more sure word of prophecy. But God gave Gideon a message of hope, encouragement, in a time where he would have likely felt overwhelmed, paralyzed, tempted to go back. Are you in a crisis, a situation right now where you're tempted to give up? Have you ever heard someone say, you know, I tried that and it didn't work? Talking about maybe a step of faith or obedience or spiritual discipline. Sometimes it can feel that way. But what doesn't work is our own self-dependence. God's way always works. When God calls us to something, when God calls you to something, to do something, to be a vessel of hope in a specific situation, He's going to enable. He's going to accomplish His work. It will work. And it's going to work for Gideon. But God gives him a special token. How many of you have There's been a specific crisis in your life where God has used a word from the Word, a promise from the Word of God to encourage you, to lift you up. Oh, there's multiple times I have experienced that. I love the promises of Scripture. Cast your burden on the Lord, and He will sustain you. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You need wisdom. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Don't know the next step to take? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. All the promises are rich. I love Isaiah 41 verse 10. Fear not, I am with thee. Be not afraid, I am your God. I will strengthen thee, I will help thee, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Just say the only courage we have comes from the Word of God. And the Word of God is, I'm here to say tonight, is sufficient for every crisis. You realize, thinking back, we're talking about Gideon, but for a moment in our mind's eye, can we go back to Joshua? He's just crossed over, getting ready to cross over the Jordan River, and three times God commands him, be strong and of a good courage, be strong and very courageous. And the only equipment that Joshua had was the Word of God, this book of the law. Shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You need courage in the face of crises? I know I do. We all do. Stay close to this book. Love it. Read it. Memorize it. Meditate on it. Live it. Gideon, in a dark time, at a discouraging time, God encouraged him, gave him courage through the Word of God. And you know what happened? Gideon, with 300 men and some great weapons, some anti-aircraft missiles and all of that, semi-automatic rifles, and they did the job. No, just trumpets, clay pots, and lamps. Gideon, are you still in for this task? You still have courage to go forward? Are you still ready for me to work? And Gideon says yes. Goes forward. You know the story. God works a mighty deliverance. And the Bible says that Gideon didn't just settle for partial victory. He went all the way. In fact, God gave them princes of Midian and most of the Midianites into his hand. He said, no, the kings of Midian I haven't yet taken down. And there's 15,000 still left. There were some cities and men that discouraged him and said, Gideon, what are you doing? You know, they were voices of the enemy. And you and I will always have voices of the enemy. Sometimes it can be through people. Sometimes it can be thoughts in our own mind that try to discourage us from full victory, going all the way with God. And Gideon, he goes all the way with God, even in the face of obstacles. He is obedient. He's available. God, whatever you have, that's what I'm in for. I'm all in. And he's courageous. What crises do you need God to breathe hope in tonight? Are you going through a crisis now? You may be. But one thing that's for sure is if you're not going through a crisis now, you will. All of us will. And he's still looking for vessels through which he can show himself strong. People in the moment of crisis who will just say, God, I'm obedient. As much as I know, you speak, I'll obey. I'm available. Not dependent on my significance, my skill, my reputation, my resources, none of those things. And Lord, by your strength, I'm going forward with your courage, staying close to the book, the Word of God. Do you bow your heads and close your eyes?